Intentional Grounding is brought to you by CJ Wilson Mazda and the Zoom Zoom Nation. Let me tell you one thing about CJ Wilson Mazda. They are not your typical dealership. There are no suits, no high-pressure sales, just regular people who treat you like a neighbor. And they have special monthly incentives all month long, which make it a great time to buy or trade. The other thing you should know is that the good people at CJ Wilson Mazda are always trying to make your car shopping fun. You can test drive a CJ Wilson Mazda in Orland Park, Countryside, and Lake Villa, and always online at ZoomZoomNation.com. Let's go.
We'll look at the tape.
It's Intentional Grounding.
I think we got to come out hard and stay hard.
Part of Chicago's best Bears coverage.
I don't know.
Now, here they are.
They're day-to-day in my mind.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue.
I'm violent.
And the Chicago Sun-Times' Adam Johns.
What an a-hole.
Hug it, chug it, football!
Welcome in, episode 64 of Intentional Grounding. The Ted Albrecht episode, my favorite Chicago Bear of all time.
You need to get him on.
I'm trying. He's ignoring me right now. Come on, Ted. Boy. This is the highest honor you've ever had in your entire life.
He's probably thinking, 2-7 Bears? Pass.
Yeah, I don't blame him. We got to go to Minnesota tomorrow anyway for Northwestern, which we'll talk about a little bit later on in the podcast when we do our college picks. That'll be one of the games we discuss. But yes, this is episode 64, the Ted Albrecht episode, my favorite Bear. Because I work with him on Saturdays on our Northwestern broadcast on WGN Radio. Tremendous guy, tremendous Bear. And this is what I want to talk to him about. He has a stalker. There's a guy in the south end zone at Soldier Field that wears a 64 Ted Albrecht jersey.
Really?
Yeah. He's been spotted. He's asked me to go investigate. And I said, Ted, I got things that I got to do.
You got to be careful with that investigation. He's right. Got to be the only guy in how many years to wear such a jersey.
But hey, there's no current Bears to wear jerseys. So you got to dig deep.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, Adam Hogue, Adam Johns here, at Adam Hogue on Twitter, at Adam Johns. Follow the podcast at INT Grounding Pod, INT Grounding Pod. That's where you can vote on our listener selections every week. Got three more games that we will bring you today that you have voted on. And still are not very good at picking games. 1-2 last week, our listener selections. And technically the one they didn't even get. Because it turned out to be a 50-50 split on the Wisconsin-Illinois game.
Really?
So I gave it to our listeners out of sympathy.
You're so nice.
Because the overall record,
such a nice guy,
even with my gift there, is 3-12.
Well, everybody's got to look a little bit more respectable, so right. You're such a nice guy.
I mean, we like our listeners to look respectable, so come on. Read us at WGNRadio.com/BearsChicagoSunTimes.com and find the podcast on iTunes. Subscribe for free by searching Intentional Grounding on iTunes. And by the way, you've heard me all year talk about CJ Wilson Mazda, our fine sponsor of this podcast. And we thank them for all their support this year. And let me just tell you, I mean, that's obviously a plug that we do here. They're our sponsor. But
yep.
I bought a car from CJ Wilson Mazda way before I have any kind of business relationship with them. Those people really do take care of you. Everything you hear on this podcast is completely true. I think you hear bad stories about car dealerships sometimes. And I'm telling you, this is a different experience you get with CJ Wilson Mazda. Great people over there. And we thank them for their support all year long. So if you're in the market for a car going in this holiday season, that's where you should be checking out, because those Mazdas are fun to drive, let me tell you. All right, let's dive right in. It was a heck of a week, has been a heck of a week at Halas Hall. Maybe our biggest news story of the year? You could say Alshon Jeffrey suspended.
Yeah. It's not a good look. It's really not a good look.
For him or the organization?
For him.
Yeah.
It's all on him.
I agree. you know, you can question the sports science staff. You can, I mean, obviously the Bears are not having a good year, and there's a lot of questions all around. I think this falls on the player.
Yeah, it always does. Look, every player takes supplements. Walk around that locker room. You look in all these guys' stalls, and there's bottles of everything and anything, and they got ingredients that you can't pronounce, long scientific words that you – I'm not even going to bother listing. There's so many things in these supplements, and we know why they do them. They got to maintain mass, or they got to fight inflammation like Alshon Jeffrey is doing. So, yes, this is all on him. I know his statement, the use of the word recommended – it was a recommended supplement that helps inflammation. That's an interesting, curious phrasing, right? I think it opens the door to spread blame, but no, don't do it. This is all on Alshon Jeffrey. These guys are reminded a lot about what they cannot put in their bodies. The NFLPA, for all the criticism of the players' union, does offer some resources to players to check supplements. There's even like an app for it. And I know there's confusing things about this app because some supplement providers don't list everything and they don't put everything into that app. So I get that. But there's still avenues. You can go to the Bears Sports Science Department to check it. It's a bad look for Jeffrey.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of sympathy for the players in this situation because the resources NFL players, even college athletes have.
Yeah.
Entire staffs dedicated to get you right for your games on Saturdays or Sundays, no matter what level you're at, okay? You don't have to go outside the organization and what they recommend. Mm-hmm. If you're going to do that, and a lot of players do, because let's face it, a lot of these guys, they get advice from outside, they have agents. They have
their own trainers.
Their own trainers, their own people they work with.
Their own therapist, yeah.
And they get recommendations. There's that word, recommendations, that Alshon said. And, you know, if we even want to be cynical, we could say, who knows? That's such a broad term. It could be a recommendation from some guy who said, hey, I recommend this one. It's not exactly fully legal, but you're not going to get caught using it.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of stuff happens. So when he says recommended, that in my head it doesn't go, oh, the Bears recommended it.
Yeah.
Because these teams know they're paid to make sure what they're giving their players is definitely not going to get flagged because it's in their best it's not in the Bears' interest at all to risk this. They can't have their best player out.
Right.
So they're going to follow the rules.
See, I get some of the pain in the butt qualities of this whole process, though. And it's what it is. It could be mind-numbing to have to check everything that you're putting in your body because, let's just face it, with the food industry, I mean, the food nowadays is laced with all sorts of chemicals.
Well, I read Rich Campbell's story in the Tribune today, and he's got Logan Paulson quoted saying he went to Jamba Juice and had to double-check what kind of protein they use in the protein shake.
Well, you see around Hallis Hall, they'll have flyers posted in everywhere, especially entering the cafeteria, about meat from this part of the world has been tested positive for steroids or this antibiotic, which are illegal according to the players' agreement with the NFL. So
basically saying when you step outside these walls at Hallis Hall, don't eat this meat.
Yeah, that's why they pour so much money into Jen Gibson's department. I mean, she's in charge of their whole menu, right? And that food is clean. But look, sometimes these providers of food or these supplement providers, they don't list everything. We all know that sometimes the chicken that you buy at Jewel could have some steroids in it or something like that. That's just the fact of life. That's the food industry. That's why you have this big organic food movement. You know, I don't know about you, but I go to Whole Foods or Trader Joe's more than I go to Jewel now in stores like that. So,
And these players have the means to shop at those places very comfortably and not have to worry about the prices.
But even though I do get the pain in the butt aspects of having to check everything you put in your bodies because of the long list of things you can't put in your bodies because it's forbidden by the league, it's still on the player to know what they're doing and what they're putting inside their own bodies.
Yeah. I completely agree. So let's talk about them. What this means for Alshon Jeffrey.
Here's the funny thing. It doesn't mean anything, does it?
It's
part of the evaluation process.
Right. I think it costs him money in free agency.
No way.
I think it affects the market a little bit.
A little bit, though, but he's still going to be in demand. This is...
That's fine if someone wants to overpay him. The bottom line is this guy is not going to complete another season.
Yeah, yeah,
and,
I get that.
And why do you think he's taking these inflammation supplements?
Right, to be healthy. But he's not the only player to do this.
Right, but this is a guy with a known history of not being able to...
1 year of it.
Soft tissue injuries piling up. And then now the next year when he's on the franchise tag, he gets flagged for PEDs.
Yeah.
And by the way, the production this year is not that great.
Yeah. But you could point to the Brian Hoyer, the Jay Cutler issues. Receivers can't throw the ball to themselves. I know I'm playing devil's advocate here, but...
Yeah, it's fair.
I think these PED things are so common now. And Alshon Jeffrey has such a skill set that regardless of him missing the four games here, if he hits that market, his price is going to be astronomically high.
Okay, what about the Bears then?
I think the franchise tag is another option.
So you're going to pay a guy who hasn't been able to complete two seasons in a row, gets flagged for PEDs, not even that productive, potentially new quarterback coming in that's never worked with him before. You're going to pay him $17 million.
It's better than giving him a four-year deal where he's making, you know, an average 12 of 15. The prices are going to go up. You got guys like Odell Beckham Jr. who are going to reset the market. And Alshon Jeffrey's agent's no fool. I mean, he's going to bargain this guy all over the place if the Bears allow him to hit that market. And look, the price, it's going to be high because he still does things that teams love.
Well, does Cam Meredith give you enough confidence?
Oh, come on. I love Cam Meredith, but... I need to see more, right?
Well, I think, I need to see more, too. But here's the deal. He's out for these next four games.
Yeah.
Alshon is out.
Mm-hmm.
Cam Meredith is suddenly your number one wide receiver.
Yeah.
So this is a big opportunity for him to prove to the Bears that he can be the number two guy next to Kevin White, assuming the Bears still think Kevin White is, you know, number one caliber player.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, Kevin White can come back in a few weeks if he's healthy.
I wouldn't count on it. I know what you're saying. The guy's got like more metal in his leg than a veteran. I mean, geez.
Getting flagged at security at the airport. But these are things we got to talk about here. I mean, with Alshon being out, you're looking at White's eligible to come back week 13, right?
Yeah.
So that's 2 weeks away. Not saying he's going to be ready for that. We haven't seen him at all.
No. I wouldn't count on it. I do agree with your Cam Meredith thing because, look, he is your number one now. Sorry, Eddie Royal. Cam Meredith is the guy. But where is, and you brought this up a few weeks ago, where is his connection with Jay Cutler?
It's not there.
No, he had one catch.
Hail Mary.
Against Tampa. Hail Mary. Luck. All luck there, right? So, I mean, he clearly still goes to Zach Miller. Still clearly likes Alshon Jeffrey. So, but now he has to go to Cam Meredith. Brian Hoyer connected with Cam Meredith for a variety of reasons. But I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I don't know where this offense is going to be over this next 4 weeks because there's another guy who's missing.
On the offense?
Yeah.
Oh, Kyle Long?
Yes.
Yeah.
We haven't even talked about that yet.
No, Kyle Long's out for the year. I think we thought on Sunday when we did our postgame episode that in Tampa that he was probably going to be out for the year because there's just no point.
No.
Even if he could somehow return from his ankle injury in 3-4 weeks, get the shoulder fixed.
Right. Well, get his ankle fixed.
Right. Well, that's going to be neat. Yeah.
I mean, even if it's not a bone break, there could still be enough damage in there where a couple repairs would help speed up
the process. You just threw a bunch of money at this guy. Get him ready for 2017.
Yeah, this season's lost. So, you know what he is.
Exactly. I just find the Alshon Jeffrey thing. $17 million to tag him again when you don't know who your quarterback's going to be. You don't know if Kevin White's... There's just so many questions.
But that's the thing. You don't know what Kevin White's going to be. You still kind of know what Alshon Jeffrey is.
Yeah. I don't.
You still don't know what Cam Meredith is going to be.
You know he's not dependable.
Yeah.
I think this answers the dependability question.
You think so?
Yes. Where would he been if he not taken these supplements?
What if he just started taking them?
I don't know. Well, usually you get flagged like a... Usually the test is like a month
all
delayed.
All these guys take supplements, right?
Yes.
They all take random drug tests, you know?
But they don't all fail them.
Yeah, I know.
And you don't know that there's not intent to cheat.
Right. I just don't know how you could give up on a player who is 26, who has proven... I get the durability concerns, but it's still your best receiver. I know we got 4 weeks to see what Cam Meredith can do. I don't think we're going to see Kevin
Well, I'm not trying to even say that Cam Meredith is any as near as good as Alshon or ever will be.
Right.
I'm just looking at the situation of this team and what it might look like next year.
Yeah.
And is it really worth throwing $17 million? Or, like you even said, or you know, 4 years, $14 million a year. That's questionable to me. I don't know. It'll be interesting to watch.
But I know what you're saying. But this is why Ryan Pace didn't overpay the guy this offseason, right?
Right. And now there's even more questions. Right. So why would he do it this year?
I mean, the franchise tag is not a frugal decision, but it's a safe decision because you get to see more. But if you're still – look, they're going to be expected to be better next year. And I still think this team is better with Alshon Jeffrey on it than not, even if Kevin White comes back. You don't know about his availability. Cam Meredith, Eddie Royal's a year older. I mean, his guaranteed money's up. So what skill position players do you have for whatever quarterback you bring in next year? It's like, here we go again, you know?
So that brings us to Jay Cutler. Some tweets earlier in the week from Mike Freeman, who covers the NFL for Bleacher Report, and he tweeted that he texted with two Bears players about Jay Cutler. Oh my. Main thing they said, most of the locker room has given up on Cutler. A second tweet, 5 minutes later, one of the Bears players told me that Cutler's lack of preparation was, quote, truly embarrassing.
Well, that better be an offensive player saying it then, because how would a defensive player actually know?
These tweets were confusing to me. Now, let's be clear. Mike Freeman's a good reporter. There's no doubt in my mind that he actually received texts from players. He would not make this up. Okay. At least I don't think he would. But how did we go from this guy inspired the entire locker room to beat the Vikings to 2 weeks later and only one game later, the guy's lack of preparation truly embarrassing, and the most of the locker, not just a few guys, most of the locker room has given up on Cutler. I just find that hard to believe. So even if those two players or three players or whatever it is, you know, he said he texted with two Bears players. So even if two Bears players believe that, I find it hard to believe that most of the locker room believes that.
We know there's vocal Jay Cutler supporters. I think most national folks don't like that narrative, that there is support for Jay Cutler in that locker room. And, it, you know, to be fair with Mike Freeman, he's been critical of Jay Cutler for a long time, so this kind of falls in that line. Now, I'm not saying that's what he's going out for. I'm just saying he has a history of that.
I will point out that it sure seemed like on Monday the Sharks were circling.
Yes.
You know, Jay has a bad game and all. I don't know. Jay had an awful game. We talked about that on Sunday. He deserved criticism. But does any other quarterback in the league get pounced on the way he does after a bad game?
No.
I mean, the guy could string a full season. And in fact, last year he had a really good season. And then he has one disastrous game, and all of a sudden the locker room's giving up on him.
Yeah.
He's a bad teammate.
Right.
All the same old narratives come out after one game. It's just bizarre.
Well, here's the thing about those two players. If they're giving up on him, what type of teammates are they? If they're going to a national reporter to vent their frustrations, what type of teammates are they? They always talk about getting the right players in the locker room, right? The right guys, changing the culture. I would surmise that these guys are not part of that then. Why would you want players, fair or not, of the criticism of Jay Cutler, leaking that type of information out? Right? That's still your teammate. It's still your best option at quarterback. It's not Matt Barkley. There's no one else. It's Jay Cutler or Matt Barkley. So I get it if you're upset and things like that, but there's a better way to go about it. And even John Fox has a whole structure in place, that whole leadership council he has for issues like this to be raised, right? So I get that. I wonder if Fox is really digging around. I know Zach Miller called that a bunch of BS, the tweets and all that. He's always been a vocal supporter of Jay Cutler. Akeem Hicks, another guy who's spoken about this, he's always been a vocal supporter of Jay Cutler. So we'll have to see. I just think it's very – this is why people have made the comparisons to 2014, where there's a lot of backstabbing and there was a lot of negative headlines, Aaron Cromer, all this and that, Mark Trestman benching Jay Cutler, everybody's looking out for themselves.
This seems more manufactured to me, though. I don't get the sense that locker room is in nearly as much turmoil as it was in 2014.
Right, right.
And I think some of us have revisionist history. Like, I don't think, or maybe that's not the right term, but people are thinking, almost forgetting how bad it really was. 14 was ugly.
Yeah,
it was
bad.
Really, it was bad. Really, it was uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't feel uncomfortable in the locker room yesterday.
Yeah. No. No, there was a lot of negative vibes. In 2014.
I mean,
guys weren't talking to each other.
Right.
Defensive and offensive players had turned on each other.
And the way Trestman had the locker room organized, where it was all mixed up.
Yeah.
It was not a good
players
scene.
Weren't in there. Players had turned on their coaches. Coaches had turned on their players. I don't think you get that sense at Hallis Hall yet, but this is still a bad look.
Oh, no question.
It's not good at all.
And I think it's fair to, I think it's completely fair to question the job that John Fox has done and if he's the right guy for this structure of this team going forward. I think that's a fair conversation, and I wrote it the other day. You can read it on WGNRadio.com. You know, he has, to me, this isn't as bad. I mean, we talked about this on Sunday. You compared that game to the loss to Tampa. You compared it to the 2014 game against the Packers. I think it's more like the game against the Patriots before the bye, which was, okay, this is really bad. The coaching staff is going to be tested now to turn this around.
Yeah,
I thought the Packer game was when it was like, all right, this is a lost cause.
Okay,
and I don't think we're at that point yet. But I do think over these last seven games, John Fox needs to prove that this isn't 2014,
mm-hmm.
that he can keep the locker room glued together. And I'm not saying they got to win. You know, it helped to win a couple games, but he has to prove that this team hasn't given up on the coaching staff, that the locker room is not lost.
Right.
I don't think we're to that point yet, and I think he can still salvage it in the last seven weeks.
I agree with you. It's hard to judge him. I know everything should be judged by wins and losses, but this is going to be a team that's going to trot out a lot of young players, even more so than they already have. It's all about the youth now developing, and they're going to get a lot of playing time. Jonathan Bullard's going to keep starting. They're going to find a way to get Nick Kolkowski in there. Deion Bush is going to play more, so you're going to have a lot of ups and downs coming, and you're going to have them without Alshon Jeffrey for 4 weeks, without Kyle Long for the rest of the season. So you're going to have stuff that kind of deters winning, right?
Yeah.
And you're going to face good teams like the Giants, who are red hot, even the Titans, who maybe have looked like a win for the Bears not too long ago. They look pretty red hot after they destroyed the Green Bay Packers. So, look, some tough football games ahead. This is all about John Fox keeping things together, avoiding those negative headlines, making sure he still gets the buy-in from these players, the young ones especially, because this is a rebuilding effort. Fox is not, he's got to show that he could be the leader of that rebuilding effort. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I still have questions about whether or not he's the right guy for that.
Which is fair.
But at the same time, I also think patience is necessary. There's too many franchises in the NFL that blow things up after 2 years, and then 2 years later, they're blowing up again, and then 2 years later after that, they're blowing it up again. Okay, you can look at the Bills.
We call that just Cleveland things.
You can talk to the Browns. And I don't think this is anywhere close to how bad it was when Phil Emery had alienated the organization and Mark Trestman had completely lost the locker room. It's not to that point. I don't even think it's anywhere near that point. So to blow this all up, especially when it comes to the general manager who has made some nice draft picks, that's an idiotic conversation to me.
Yeah.
the head coach and evaluating whether or not there's a better fit or if he really wants to be in this situation. Was it what he signed up for? There's a lot of money involved too. That's fine, but we don't have to rush to judgment there. And even if, you know, after seven more weeks, it still doesn't look that great, where's this team going next year? You know, I'm not sure that it even makes sense to start all over with a new head coach. Maybe the year after that, but there's plenty of time to kind of still have that conversation. All right, let's move on and talk about the game at hand this Sunday in New York. The Bears go back on the road at the New York Giants. The Giants are a 7.5-point favorite coming off a win over the Bengals. Last week, we called the Giants erratic. Mm-hmm. They've also been pretty decent, though, overall as a team.
Four wins in a row.
Yeah, and this is a noon game Sunday on Fox. So, Adam Johns, your two big questions.
How do I want to phrase this? Can Jordan Howard get more than 20 carries?
He can.
He should. He should. It's more of a statement than anything, right?
Yeah, I mean, he should, but yeah. I don't.
Here's let's phrase it as a question. Will Dow Loggins give Jordan Howard more than 20 carries? More? How about more than 20 touches? Because he deserves it.
Yeah. You know, John Fox keeps an over and over and over again, and Dow Loggins too, referencing, well, when you fall behind, you can't run the football. Why not?
Why? In some of those stretches, they weren't that far behind.
And I'll give Kevin Fishbane credit, too, who mentioned this to me yesterday. Do you know where the Bears rank in rushing attempts when they're in the lead?
No, this is good. This is a good stat.
When they're actually
this
in the lead?
This is a Mark Potash-like
stat
from Kevin Fishbane.
This is Kevin Fishbane.
What is it?
26.
Okay.
So they're not even running the football when they're winning.
Right. I hope he brings it up.
He should. Alex. Yeah. So this, they're not running the football enough, mm-hmm. especially when, you know, they were opening up giant holes against the Bucs.
Yeah.
The offensive line was not playing well in pass protection, blocking great in the running game. I don't know what they were doing. I can't explain it, but you're right. They got to get Jordan Howard more carries.
They are a game plan based offense. I mean, they want to be a hard-nosed football team. They do. But it's a game plan based offense, meaning things change from week to week to week. The identity could change from week to week to week. And for the most part, I like that. The New England Patriots are like that. They're the best example of why that works. You play to your matchups and your strengths and the weaknesses of your opponent. But the Bears have had so many moving pieces. You're not dealing with Tom Brady under center. You don't have a Rob Gronkowski. You know what I mean? The personnel can be a bit different. So your best weapon, especially with Alshon Jeffrey out, is a guy named Jordan Howard. Feed him the ball.
All right, my first question is going to be how Jay Cutler bounces back. And kind of a two-parter here. Can he develop something with Cam Meredith, who now has to be his go-to wide receiver, who he has shown no willingness to throw the football to in recent weeks? So they got to work that out. Can Jay bounce back with a better performance? The narratives all change. He comes back and plays well, you know.
But does that even mean anything at this point anymore? Say he goes out there and
Here's what it means. It's in the Bears' best interest to have this guy play very well in the last seven games. I still think there's a trade market out there for him. There's always a team willing to, or desperate enough to make a move for a quarterback. And the contract, and I've said this over and over and over again, it's not as bad as it looks when you compare
it. It's not a hindrance at all.
It's not a hindrance. It's actually attractive to a team that might want to take a chance on Jay Cutler. They can cut him at any point. They can cut him next year, and it'll cost them nothing other than the season they paid him for.
Why would a team, though, give up a draft pick for a guy if they know the Bears, there's a good likelihood that he'll cut him? They'll cut him anyway.
Why is there a likelihood? There's... The Bears do not need to be in a rush to cut him.
I get that. I think at this point,
you don't know how the free agency is going to play out. You don't know how the draft is going to play out. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, it would be stupid to just flat out cut Jay Cutler before the draft. If you want to trade him, if you get a good offer, then that's fine.
Right.
But who's out there in free agency? Is Tony Romo actually an option that you would consider?
Well, you can't trade for that contract. if you're the Bears. I think there's a lot of money left on that deal.
Wait, isn't he a free agent?
No. I think there's some money left on his deal.
Okay.
Look it up. You got the computer there. Brian Hoyer. They love them some Brian Hoyer. And they saw how efficient he was, you know, running Dow Loggins' offense. So if they want to go in that direction again, that could be a real option. And we should stress, or I should stress, that the Bears do have an affinity for Brian Hoyer. Their like of him is more of a love for him. You know, they do see him as more than just a fill-in type of guy. What do you got there?
So the contract's similar to Jay's in that there's 3 years left on it, so a little bit less. Yeah, 3 years left on Tony Romo's contract, but all the guaranteed money has been paid. So that's probably why all this Tony Romo speculation is happening, because if they decide to move on, because they have Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
But then that puts them in the same exact situation I put the Bears. Why be in a hurry to get rid of them?
Right.
$14 million for Tony Romo next year? That's fine. I mean, even if Dak's going to be your starter. But see, the difference there is that they have a guy. The Bears don't have a guy.
Right.
So if I'm the Cowboys, I'm trying to trade Tony Romo. Now, $14 million to be the backup is a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of money for backup, so maybe teams do think that they'd be willing to cut ties with Romo. With Cutler, you don't have no other options right now. Well, I guess you brought up Hoyer. Didn't we already go through that? I mean, come on. I'm going to get a headache again. All right.
Next question. Let me continue.
Go for it.
The Giants have done a good job of protecting Eli Manning, who could be hit or miss, erratic. We know that. We talked about that last week. But I think, here's the question. How many sacks do the Bears get on Eli Manning? Because I think they will get some. That pass rush will be, I thought it was good in Tampa. It's been good for the past four games. I think they'll be a factor again against the Giants.
Well, Pernell McPhee already told us he doesn't care.
We're going to tear their ass up. I don't care what everybody else did. I mean, we're going to sack him. He can throw the ball every time he wants. We're going to sack him. I'm going to make sure of that.
How many?
It don't matter. How many God give up, we're going to be there, though. Just believe that. And that is a challenge.
That's a bold statement from Pernell McPhee when you're 2-7.
Mm-hmm. I love Mark Potash's attempt at dry humor there, though. You know? He sounded like he was even laughing, you know? Yeah. How many? but he's delivered on his words. He always has.
Yeah.
When he said, I'm going to hit Aaron Rodgers' ass, he went out there and hit his ass. And the Bears did that, and they beat Aaron Rodgers on Brett Favre's homecoming night on Thanksgiving night. He's always delivered on his promises.
So my second question was also the pass rush.
Okay.
And also, can they get Leonard Floyd to keep going? Three games in a row, looks great.
Mm-hmm.
Keep it going. That's a huge storyline for me the rest of the season, because you really need that guy to not just be good, but be a pro bowler.
Yeah.
Can he put himself in the picture for Defensive Rookie of the Year? I think that's still something that's out there that he could achieve with a good second half of the season. And that's the kind of thing you need from him. So that's my second question. And since we're talking about the pass rush, this is a good transition.
Bold predictions.
3 sacks.
Oh, I was thinking pass rush too. That's fair.
Is that bold enough? 3?
4. Here I am questioning your bold.
You do this every week.
Your boldness.
Leonard gets 1. Pernell gets 1. Akeem Hicks gets 1.
Okay.
And Willie Young has a TFL.
On Eli? When he's scrambling, that wouldn't make sense.
That would be a sack.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Maybe it was a... They could get funny in the press box sometimes with their...
Yeah, those press box stats are...
Well, sometimes there's quarterback hits that don't count and stuff like
that.
Okay, so I was thinking along the same lines, so I'm going to... Let's see. Switch things up here. I'm going to say, okay, Cam Meredith. This is going to be bold because I think it's going to. I'm going to say he underachieves this game. I think he gets 10 targets a game. He should get 10 targets a game, but I think he comes out of this one with 5 catches for like 60 yards. Is that bold?
That's actually optimistic, I think.
You think so? I think he's going to get fed a lot. All right, okay, so...
I'm questioning whether or not he gets 10. I think you're just saying he gets 10 targets as a bold prediction.
All right, fine.
Because Jay has shown no willingness to throw him the football.
All right, I'll even be more bold. I think he gets more than 10
okay.
targets. There's the bold prediction. Cam Meredith, more than 10 targets in this game.
Well, we'll see. I mean, he should. He mm-hmm. should, but that, I mean, that... Again, kind of gets me to where I'm going to go with my prediction for this game.
Predictions.
I just don't trust this offense. I don't trust that Jordan Howard's going to get 20 carries. I don't trust that Cam Meredith is going to get 10 targets. I don't trust that Jay Cutler's going to play. I think he'll play better. I don't know that he's going to be great. This offensive line was discouraging last week. They haven't. We're in week 11 now. This offense has been mostly bad all year.
It's been real bad.
And why would it change in a trip to New York? So even if the defense plays better, you know, we came out of Tampa. I think overall that defense showed progress, and yet the Bucs scored 36 points.
Yeah.
Of course, one touchdown came off of a pick six, but still, that's a lot of points to give up for a defense that we're saying overall played better, but that's because the offense kept putting them in terrible situations, and I think that's going to continue. So I have the Giants winning 24-14.
I have the Giants. I just looked it up here. I forget what I put in for Pro Football Weekly. Giants 27-16. I wanted to give the Bears less. I think they'll get some fortunate breaks for whatever reason. I hate underestimating scores, especially because there's some potency there if they could just find it. Look, they were awful in Tampa. When your best play is a last-second Hail Mary in the first half, that's pathetic. Let's just be honest. I mean, that's pathetic.
It was pathetic.
And Tampa's an awful team.
They're not good. And the Giants are a lot better. Now, the only thing I will say is they were in that game at halftime. And if the defense... You know, makes that play.
They're in it by like default, though. You know, it's just.
Oh, I agree.
I get it.
I agree. And I think the Giants wouldn't keep them around if the Bears came out playing that poorly in the first half again.
Yeah.
But.
See, I hate football like that. You know, I hate when luck starts to matter more than game plans and more than actual play on the field. That was luck.
So the spread's 7.5. So we both have the Giants covering, too, if you look at it that way. All right, time for our favorite segment as we move on here.
What does the fox say?
I'm not really sure how to answer that.
What the fox say?
What question was that? Because I think you said that to a lot over the past 11 weeks.
You know, yesterday, I think the question was from Dan Weeder, and it was, does he see results, tangible results, when guys take supplements? Oh. Like, is that something that you can actually quantify, basically, was the gist of the question. I will say, since there's comparisons to 2014, I remember Mark Trestman's tone changing dramatically in press conferences the second half of that season.
Yeah.
Once it was clear, he kind of lost the locker room and the writing was on the wall. He had a lot of press conferences where he was just like, you could tell he was down.
Yeah.
That was the most somber I've seen John Fox all season.
Yes. You just lost two of your best players.
Dealing with a lot of questions.
Yeah.
He could not have been thrilled that he, basically half of his press conference was answering questions about his best player being suspended, questions about his sports science staff, questions about supplements, things you don't want to be dealing with when you're 2-7.
Right.
He sounded down yesterday. As I was watching the press conference live, while I was there. That's something I noticed.
So. You know what he hasn't done with us in a while? For a long time, dating back to training camp and OTAs, he would come and chat with the media on the sideline.
At the beginning of practice.
Be real chummy, especially when they're stretching. He hasn't done that.
Like, at all.
In weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, he came over once the other day, briefly, you know, but it's real That used to be a thing he did. He did it in Denver. That was like his thing, to talk and get to know reporters and stuff like that. But, you know, but the Chicago media's got, we got our fangs out.
Yeah,
you know, we're searching for blood, I guess.
It's a different situation. By the way, our listener selections for the Bears game, 63% of you going with the Giants. Kind of a shift there, because even against the Vikings, the fans were close. They ultimately went with the Vikings, but it was a lot closer. Yeah. I think the fans are kind of fed up here, and I understand that too. So we appreciate you voting in our listener selections, which you can do at INT Grounding Pod on Twitter. And even, you know, after you listen to the podcast, these polls are open until game time, and that's ultimately what I go with when I mark it down for whether or not you get the picks correct is what it looks like when the polls close. So still time to vote even after you listen to this, up until these games get played on Saturday and Sunday. Okay, let's get to our picks for this week. And by the way, we talked about how big of a week it was for us because we differed on 5 of the 6 NFL games. As I tried to tell you, it did not go so well for you. You were 1-5. I was 3-3.
I think I got my bold prediction, though.
You did. You had the Titans, which I think I made that pick for you.
No.
You accidentally locked it up, and then I held you to it. Because it was going to be your upset.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
So,
That was my lock.
Yeah.
Well, here's my lock now.
Okay.
You can hit that button.
We haven't even introduced the game.
I'll introduce it.
You better lock it up. You better lock it up.
No, you lock it up.
Lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
You got to lock up a pick'em, right? I'm bad against the spread.
Yeah.
Picking games straight up. So I'm going to take a chance to lock this one up. Cardinals at Vikings. You got it down as a pick'em.
Yep.
Give me Cardinals all day. All day.
At the Vikings.
All day. All day. Vikings are toast. They're done.
Toast.
They're done.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you're locking it up. I'm not going to go as far as to lock it up, but I think I agree with you. And I am also going to go with the Cardinals in this game. It is a noon game on Fox, Arizona traveling to Minnesota. All right. Also in the NFC North, the Jaguars at the Lions. The Jacksonville Jaguars go to Detroit. Man, Jaguars are really kind of a mess. I saw a stat like they have only led for like 2 minutes in the last 5 games or something.
Like it has to be the Bears.
Yeah, exactly. When they beat the Bears right at the end of the game. This is a 6.5-point spread in favor of the Lions, who are at home. This is a noon game on CBS on Sunday.
See, give me the Lions here because I think the Jags are in. Look, there's going to be some firings down there. Blake Bortles. Nothing gets a head coach, offense coordinator, the entire coaching staff fired faster, or should, than a quarterback's development.
Yeah.
Blake Bortles is throwing the football around like a baseball. His mechanics are awful. Look, I know he had a great numbers last year statistically, but everybody said it. It's what happens when you're playing catch-up and people are playing back in soft zone coverage. He looks awful. This is a guy who took number 3 overall. He needs to be better. Not just more consistent, efficient, all that stuff. Mechanically, he looks pathetic. They got to go down there.
Well, I agree with everything.
I like the guy, but come on.
I agree with everything you said, and I think the Lions win this game. However, with 6.5 points, I am going to actually pick the Jaguars in this game because the last 2 weeks they have, while they've lost, they've actually kept it closer than that. And the Lions are a team that, while they're playing better, in fact, they have a chance to win the NFC North now, like a real chance. Mm-hmm. I don't trust them every week, so I am actually going to take the Jaguars here in this one. All right, Packers at Washington. Packers with so many problems, and Washington only a 2.5-point favorite in this game.
See, the Packers are starting to get angry.
Yeah,
Mike McCarthy is calling criticism of Aaron Rodgers ridiculous. Aaron Rodgers is calling criticism of Mike McCarthy ridiculous. I think it's all ridiculous. But I don't know if this is quite the relaxed message. Ridiculous is a lot more difficult to spell out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, on the radio and whatnot. But the Packers are in trouble. There's something wrong here. I'm going to pick against them again this week, even though I don't like this pick whatsoever. I think Washington's playing some decent football. I think Kirk Cousins is a pretty underrated quarterback, pretty underappreciated quarterback who's going to get paid after this year. Give me the Washington Redskins.
I'm going to also take the Washington Redskins. I'm going to take it a step further.
You better lock it up. You better lock it up.
No, you lock it up.
You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
That is a Sunday night game, by the way, 7:30 on NBC. I keep waiting for the Packers to turn around, and they haven't. And they go back on the road. I thought that might help them in Tennessee. It didn't. Washington's an even better team than Tennessee. I don't think that they turn this thing around. And 2.5, I would actually think that would be more. So it's not. I'm going to take Washington and lock that game up. All right, moving on. This is actually, we kind of go in reverse here, Thursday night, as we record this on Thursday. So apologies if you don't get to the podcast till Friday. This game will have already happened. But it's a decent game this week. The New Orleans Saints go to Carolina. The Panthers, a 3.5-point favorite at home. Your thoughts?
Hit that button.
You better lock it up. You better lock it up.
No, you lock it up.
You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
I like the Saints getting the points.
Two locks?
What did I lock up before?
I did.
Yeah, I did.
You locked
I'm all over the
you
place,
can do
man.
It. No, that's fine.
We are out of whack.
If you're confident, there's no limit to how many locks you can
what
have.
What happens here is I got to start making better notes when I look at these games in your emails, you know? Actually, decide. Anyway, I like the Saints. I can't figure out the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah.
I can't get a read on them.
Well, they're not very good.
Yeah, I know that, but they should be very good.
They should be. They had a nice 10-point win over Arizona coming out of the bye.
Yep.
But then struggled at L.A. They won the game, but didn't play all that great.
L.A.'s not that great of a team.
And then they lose to Kansas City at home. The problem with these Thursday games, and the Saints played a really tough game against the Broncos on Sunday, and this is a quick turnaround.
Yeah, how about losing that way, huh? Man.
Right.
Block PAT.
Block PAT.
May or may not have stepped out of bounds.
But you can't really show it either way.
Yeah.
I think that was a good call, by the way, sticking with what they called on the field. This is why I wanted to include this one this week, because it's one of the tougher games to call. I think with the Panthers getting a field goal plus here, 3.5, I'm going to agree with you and go with the Saints.
You can't trust the Carolina Panthers.
Right, you can't. And I actually like how the Saints are playing. So we're in agreement here. So far, we've only differed on one game, which isn't going to help your comeback efforts. Mm-mm. You're down 5 games.
Well, maybe this next one.
The Texans will go to Oakland. I don't know why, but I love this Raiders team.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because Derek Carr is my quarterback now.
Derek Carr is my fantasy quarterback.
And in my dynasty league, you get a little bit more ownership. Like I drafted Derek Carr.
You feel like you're part of the Davis family.
3 years ago. So like he feels like he's really my quarterback. You know, like a GM.
You've seen him grow, and you appreciate his demeanor.
You always love your draft picks.
Yeah, now he needs especially to learn how to slide one. When he's going out of bounds and, you know, not take those flip-over hits, but I get it, you know?
So my Oakland Raiders are hosting
Adam Davis over here. Okay, go ahead.
My Oakland Raiders are hosting the Houston Texans. This is
how's that stadium deal coming along for you? Going to Vegas?
I mean, I love Vegas.
Okay, Vegas,
let's go,
baby.
Let's go. I've seen two Wisconsin Badger games at UNLV. What a great time that is! You play eight games a year, 10 if you include the preseason in Vegas. That sounds awesome. All right. Yeah, the Texans go to the Raiders here. The Raiders are a touchdown favorite. 6 points here at home on Monday Night Football.
Now, Derek Carr is my fantasy quarterback here.
Mm-hmm.
So I have rooting interests. Somehow,
so we're both biased here.
Yeah, so somehow my fantasy league this past week, I lost, but actually moved up in the standings. Because my team's consistent. But a lot of teams have big days against me. I just had a lot of bad luck this year. I need Derek Carr to have a big day, so I'm rooting for a big day from Derek Carr. So they're going to blow out
wow.
the Houston Texans here.
Well, the Texans did go to Denver last month, and I mean, I think you call it a blowout.
Mm-hmm.
They only scored 3 points. The Raiders are on a 3-game winning streak, including a win over Denver. Again, we're biased here, and this is my team. This is, you know,
we're biased over Derek Carr.
Yeah, I mean, this is my.
I need those touchdowns, man.
Black and silver team. Yeah, I sound like a real Raiders fan here, right? I don't even. What do they call themselves? Aren't they like?
I don't know. I just get some face paint and some.
Yeah, I'm gonna
Legion of Doom, Road Warriors, like shoulder pads.
I'm gonna show up to Hallis on Monday, ready for this game.
There you go.
With black face paint on. And silver, you know, outline.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
It's about those points, man. Need some touchdowns. Not just yards. Touchdowns, Derek Carr.
So we don't differ here either.
Darn.
Really, I think it's only fair that going forward, I make my picks first. Because otherwise I can just say that, oh, yeah, I agree with you, and then you'll never beat me. Of course, it'd be nice to get over 500, which we're not.
Yeah. It's picking the spread, man. It's tough.
Yeah. All right. Let's move to the our real area of expertise, at least according to our records. I'm 6 games below 500 in the NFL. You are... I lost count, like 16 below.
In the NFL?
Yeah.
What are we in college?
In the NFL I'm talking about. But in college, we have a battle going on here too. I'm 22-14-1, which is a very good record. You're 21-15-1, which is a very good record. So this is where the real competition should be going forward. We have 3 games to pick here this week. Let's start it off at 11 a.m. with Iowa going to Illinois. Hawkeyes, a 10-point road favorite here. Some think this spread should be a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Considering Illinois did get blown out by Wisconsin.
Yeah, how about that?
Which
man.
We couldn't really. We both went with the Illini last week. Thinking
turnovers. Turnovers.
At one point in that game, Jeff George Jr. had more completions to the Wisconsin secondary than Wisconsin's quarterback had to his wide receivers.
Jeff is our quarterback. Jeff Jr. is our quarterback. Oh, lovey. You know what? I'm starting to feel bad for the whole situation. I'm taking too much joy in the demise of the Illini. I thought it would be a tough situation for Lovie Smith. You know, when he had that press conference, there was just too much exuberance for me, right? This was going to be a tough job. This is tougher than I thought it would be. He's going to start losing recruits, you know, and...
Well, they did beat Michigan State 2 weeks ago.
Oh, God, you and I can beat Michigan State, it seems like.
Well, Michigan State blew out Rutgers. How bad is Rutgers?
Oh, God. Why did they join the Big Ten?
To me, it's like they're not even in the Big Ten. It still feels that way.
They're just a team?
They're just a team that, like, it's like a non-conference mm-hmm. game every year. That's just how I feel about it. It's bad.
You know, every level of football I've ever played, there's always that one team in conference where you knew it was just the win.
Yeah.
I'm not going to list these schools. I don't want to.
Just call them out.
Yeah. No, no.
Just do
no,
it.
No, I'm not. I'm not. I'm a nice guy. But you just knew you were going to beat them, you know?
Like when Loyola plays St. Ignatius.
Yeah, something like that, you know?
Hey, my Wolfpack actually, I think, made the playoffs again this year. Or maybe this is the first year.
You know what? Like 4A? Jeez. Let me know when you move up a few classes.
I think they're in the top class.
8A?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
8A's tough road.
They
man.
Are
my,
in basketball.
My Dons
See,
are in
there. We didn't have a football team when I went there.
I know.
So I like am an absolute idiot when it comes to Illinois high school football. I don't pay attention to it. I don't have any connection to it. I couldn't even tell you.
I'm into it, man. There's a big one this week. Loyola Glenbard West. It's two state powers. Palatine versus Maine South.
Did Vernon Hills win last week?
No, I don't.
I think they did. They're
they?
Ranked now.
Are they?
Stevenson lost. That's the district that we're in, though.
Yeah. Vernon Hills was good when they had the two sons of, God, what were their names? One went to Iowa State, one went to Notre Dame. Evan Spencer, Tim Spencer's kid.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And who was the other fella? He went to Notre Dame. Neither of them. I think Evan Spencer was undrafted free agent signing for somebody. But anyway, getting back to
Illinois. My pick first. I'm actually going to take the Illini here.
Really? I'm going to take the – go ahead.
Couple reasons. The spread is fishy to me. I feel like Iowa should be favored by more. Mm-hmm. That always is a weird indicator to me that maybe this is going the other way. So that's sort of a gut Vegas feel type deal. Let down spot for the Hawkeyes after their huge win over Michigan. Let down. Mm-hmm. You go to boring Champaign after a great atmosphere. I tried to tell you about that.
Yeah.
Hey, I didn't go as far as to say the Hawkeyes would win, but what did I tell you? I said weird things happened in November.
You're right.
Weird things happened in November, and what happened? Not only did Michigan lose, Clemson lost and Washington lost. It turned out to be a crazy weekend.
Yeah.
When everyone thought it was going to be boring.
No, it was more than crazy. It was insane.
It was bizarre. So I'm going to pick Illinois here. I think Iowa has a letdown spot. The spread's fishy. It's at Illinois, where they did just beat Michigan State a couple weeks ago. I don't think Iowa is a great football team. I think the win over Michigan was more circumstance over where it was being played, the night atmosphere, big stage. This is the opposite of a big stage. Mm-hmm. This is Memorial Stadium in Champaign at 11 a.m. on a Saturday.
So you're saying it's going to be as dull as what?
As Soldier Field during the preseason.
I thought you could do better than that. Try again.
I know. I was trying to take a shot.
I like.
How about as Purdue was last Saturday?
Okay. Okay.
By the way, I said there would be 9 fans there. Maybe there was 9,000. I was, of course, kidding, but seriously, there was maybe 9,000 people there. It was.
But the Hawkeyes fans kind of travel pretty good, though.
They do. What?
Yeah. Illinois is not that far of a drive. They're coming off the big win over Michigan. 10 points is not a lot of points. I'm taking Iowa here.
Okay.
Because I don't like the 10 points. This could be a close game, but I could see them winning by 13, 12, 14. Give me Iowa.
Okay. Moving on. Also at 11 a.m. Interesting game to me. I don't know if it is to you. We've bashed the Spartans. They have been very underachieving. They finally won a Big Ten game and beat Rutgers the other day. And killed them. So I don't know if that gives them some momentum beating Rutgers or not, because now you come home and you're facing Ohio State, the number 2 team in the country,
yeah,
which, by the way, is firing on all cylinders right now, the Buckeyes. But this is a 22-point spread,
uh-huh,
and that's why I included it in this weekend's games. For the same reason as I said last week, weird things happen in November. Now, this isn't a night game, so the Buckeyes don't have to deal with that. It's an 11 a.m. game, noon out on in the Eastern time zone. But 22 points, and I would say that while this Michigan State team has underachieved, they're still pretty talented.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they've underachieved by a lot, because there's still a lot of talent on this Spartans team. And they played better when they had a big game against Michigan. They have the ability to ramp their game up in a situation where they need to, where they're playing a really good football team. I think the Spartans cover this.
So do I.
And it would not.
22 points is a lot of points.
It would not shock me if Ohio State is sweating.
Oh, that close?
In the fourth quarter.
I don't think it's going to be that close.
I kind of look at this like I did the Iowa-Michigan game last week.
Crazy things happen in East Lansing.
The difference is it's not a night game. But I also think Michigan State, from a talent standpoint, is actually better than Iowa, even though the records don't indicate
fair.
That. I think they can step up their game in this moment. Remember what they did? They beat Ohio State last year.
Mm-hmm.
That was in Columbus.
Yeah.
That screwed up Ohio State's season. Now, in that standpoint, you think the Buckeyes are coming out looking for revenge.
But it's still 22 points. They could win by 21, and it's still a good blowout. They could win by 40-20. They still don't cover.
Yeah,
I could see a scenario like that playing out. Literally them winning by 21 points. They're good. Michigan State's talented, underachieving, but still, 22 points is 22 points.
Yeah. Okay, our last game, I just want to verify the spread real quick because I thought I had it. Okay, so Northwestern is favored. Northwestern at Minnesota. This is actually at a point and a half now.
Some money's moving the line?
Yeah.
Look at those Evanston folks.
Northwestern is a 1.5-point road favorite at Minnesota. Minnesota's been okay.
Okay, Mr. Sideline Reporter.
Yeah.
Break it down for us.
You better lock it up. You better lock it up.
No, you lock it up.
You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
As Dave Ennett would say, go Cats. Look, this Northwestern team is a lot better than they showed earlier in the year. They played Ohio State down on the wire. They did not play Wisconsin as well as I thought they would. But those are two teams. If you look at the season kind of the last 2 months, they've had some good wins over Iowa, Michigan State. They blew out Purdue last week like they were supposed to. Overall, I think they're playing pretty well. I think they're better than Minnesota. That's what it comes down to. They've also been a very good road team. This team has played very well on the road, really, for the last two seasons. Mm-hmm. So that's what, point and a half, you know, they win by at least two, in my opinion.
I like your Northwestern team in this one, too. Let me ask you something. I caught a radio hit by Mel Kiper today.
Okay.
He mentioned Clayton Thorson. Isn't he? He's a sophomore, right?
Yeah.
He can't come out.
He can. He's a redshirt
sophomore. Okay, so he can't. What do you? He's not, obviously. But in terms of the way he's, you see him closer than,
yeah,
you know him personally. You talk to those coaches. Where is he in his evolution as a quarterback?
So here's the thing. I have talked to, I've been digging around the last couple of weeks to see how much he's actually on the NFL radar right now. And from what I'm told and can actually verify, he's not really on the radar yet. I think he will be 12 months from now. I think at the end of next season, he's going to be very much. And I'm not just talking about, you know, where does Matt Miller from Bleacher Report have him, which he's not even really considering him. But I'm not even talking about media. I'm talking about actually in NFL circles, what yep. NFL teams. Are they paying attention to Clayton Thorson yet? And the answer I've gotten is no, not yet.
Probably because they don't expect him to come out.
Well, he's not coming out. Yes. There's no question about that. He's going to at least finish, like most Northwestern athletes graduate. And I haven't verified this, but I'm assuming he can graduate by the end of next year. That'll be 4 years because this is already his third year there. Yeah. He's an NFL prospect to me. He has the size. He has the arm. He's still going through growing pains and trusting his wide receivers. He had, you know, a couple bad throws against Purdue where he forced some. These are all things that young quarterbacks go through. If you look at his progression, though, from this year to last year, he has taken a huge step forward. The clock in his head, escaping pressure, knowing when to throw the ball away, it's come a long way. And you can see the raw talent. He has made some NFL throws. There has been at least a handful of times this season where I'm on the sideline and he throws a beautiful 15-yard out. You know, a throw that not all college quarterbacks can make and really only true NFL prospects can. So to answer your question, he's not there yet. He's not going to come out this year. I actually didn't even know Mel Kiper had him on his radar because from what I've actually spent a lot of time in the last couple weeks digging on this,
yeah,
and I haven't really been able to find one draft board online, mm-hmm. one big board that even mentioned Clayton Thorson as a prospect because he is draft eligible.
Yeah, well, you know Kiper. He goes, he's all in, baby.
I'm glad he did his homework.
Yeah. What about the intangibles? Because that is...
Great intangibles.
Yeah.
This was one of my sideline reports on Saturday. If you listen to our broadcast on WGN, he actually threw two interceptions on Saturday, which is not something, and really for the first time all season, I've had to, it wasn't a negative report on Clayton, but it was one where I had to like check in on how's he doing. This kid is so calm and collected. It's unbelievable. He threw an interception against Michigan State that right at the beginning of the game that set them up for, I think they were up 14-0 or 10-0, I'm forgetting right now, but they fell behind by two scores to Michigan State right away in a game they ended up blowing out the Spartans.
Yeah.
After that moment, he came back like nothing had happened. And he does that consistently when he's a leader on that team. And that's something that Pat Fitzgerald has claimed from day one and raved about is how calm he stays. Mm-hmm. He doesn't let things rattle him.
I saw him play in the state. Did he make the – yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. Didn't he make the state finals? Are we north?
Didn't we just talk about how I'm an idiot when it comes to high school football?
I have this vivid hit of him playing Glenbard West and him getting – I don't know. I forget what level what point in the playoffs it was, but him getting completely flipped by Glenbard West. But he was a great quarterback in high school too. Anyway, give me the Wildcats this game.
Yeah, me too. I'm glad we talked about Clayton there a little bit though, because I think
I wanted to ask you about it. I heard him on – if Mel Kiper's talking about Clayton Thorson, Adam Hoke should be talking about Clayton Thorson.
I've been trying. I don't have – that many outlets to do so right now. So this is one of them. I'm glad we talked about it. All right. So that's going to wrap up our picks for the week. Anything else we should be getting to?
No.
I think that's pretty much it.
A 2-7 team we're covering, Adam.
I know.
Here's the thing. You know they're going to win like three or four games here and completely infuriate everybody. Over their draft status.
You think they end up in the top five?
They're going to get like six. Everybody's going to be up in arms.
Yeah. I guess that's...
par for the course.
Right. Well, if you listen to Pernell McPhee...
we're going to tear their ass up.
They're going to win this week against the Giants. He didn't guarantee that. He just said he was going to get off to the quarterback.
Right. That's all he can do.
Right. Now, again, once again, the key is...
I think we got to come out hard and stay hard.
They just haven't done that consistently this year.
No.
All right, let's wrap this bad boy up here. Episode 64 of Intentional Grounding, the Ted Albrecht episode. We love Ted. And he will be on the call, speaking to Northwestern and Clayton Thorson.
Clayton Thorson. Call this a Clayton Thorson episode. That was a good ending to this episode.
Here we go. 2:30 start on Saturday.
Local kid, NFL prospect.
That's right.
It's all about the future, baby.
That's right. All right. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hoge, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Read us at WGNRadio.com/BearsChicagoSunTimes.com. Also follow the podcast on Twitter at INT Grounding Pod. Still time to vote on our listener selections for this week. Also, please subscribe if you haven't already. It's free. Search Intentional Grounding on iTunes. Please rate the podcast and review it. Any final thoughts?
None.
Apparently not. All right. We will talk to you Sunday in New York. Probably talking about another loss, but we'll see. This team has a way of...
at least they'll hit his ass.
Hit his ass.
Tear his ass up, sorry.
All right, talk to you Sunday.